thanks for coming.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
We flew her in all the way from New York just to record this show.
Yeah. Thank you for paying for this.
No problem.
I'll invoice you.
It's the least we could do.
Don't worry about the electricity that makes these microphones work.
Oh, that
is on us.
Really appreciate it.
What did you fly in on? What plane?
JetBlue.
No. We need to know the make and model because that's the real issue these days.
Yeah, it is the real issue these days.
Apparently not the one.
Okay, good. Yeah. Good, because you're here.
I did
ask it already, right?
Yeah, they're gone.
Yeah. I still asked because I'm paranoid.
I don't like flying for a lot of reasons, but that definitely became another one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I actually really don't mind flying. And I still, like, even when there's turbulence, there's something about me that's like, oh, finally.
Yeah, me too.
Finally, the sweet, sweet relief.
Surrender.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I just surrender immediately.
Yeah, because there's nothing you can do.
Right.
There is absolutely no options. I think any other near-death experience, you're like, oh, damn, like, I could have done this thing.
Yeah, like, if I get attacked by a bear, it's like, oh, he didn't fight hard enough. Or he forgot to climb a tree or some dumb thing like that.
Or he smelled so yummy.
Yeah. It's my fault for smelling so yummy.
Right. Or car accidents. If you're the one driving, at least you're like, oh, I could have been a better, like, defensive driver. I could have been, but I even feel that way. I was in, like, a pretty chaotic cab the other day, and, like, we were just really going way too fast around corners and stuff. And I had that same feeling that I get in the airplane where
me too.
Just like, all right, here goes nothing.
I'm like, oh, I love that I'm not driving.
I know. And I'm just like, I mean, obviously I do not want to die, but there is just a relief in that there is nothing I can do right now.
Well, that's how I know I would not be good in the zombie apocalypse, because I'd be like, well, time to hang it up.
My roommates and I talk about this all the time.
Yeah.
One of them is like a survivalist, like she's like got a plan, and the other one, she and I are like, oh, we're laying down and dying. Like, we're just like, and it'll take like very little too, like even just like the inkling, like, you know, the beginning of a zombie movie when people don't know what's happening yet,
right.
Like, we would just be like, all right, it's like,
it's done.
Yeah.
You see people storming out of a building and you're like, oh, well, and then they're like, it was a stink bomb.
Yeah, we don't need any context. We're just walking into traffic.
Yeah. Like, but if I saw zombies, I'd be like, over here.
I know. I'd be like, honestly, just like,
I have so many pent up anger issues. Like, I can't wait to fight.
Oh, that's good.
I'm going to be the Carol, like, season 4 that snaps.
Oh, yeah.
And just starts killing everybody in really horrific ways.
Yeah.
But is that, that's not out of survival so much as it is to just like let out the anger though,
yeah,
right?
That's true.
Which the problem is, after the first day, I'd be like, I'm good.
Yeah, so that's the thing. I would definitely, like, I totally feel like I would do the survivalist things for the sake of just getting that, like, all that tension out. I feel like that'd be very liberating.
Yeah.
But then I would also just like walk into the ocean, you know, like it's not.
Well, luckily you won't have to, because the ocean is walking towards
us
right now.
It's coming to me. Coming to a large city near you.
And it's going
to
be nice and warm.
Oh yeah. Oh, it's gonna be the perfect temp when it finally takes us.
It's gonna feel like
it's gonna be bath,
a hot
water.
Bath.
Yeah.
We're all gonna be that frog in the pot. That's sure. Well, this is a good segue.
Yeah.
We asked you what this is supposed
to
be a relaxing podcast.
Yeah,
it's a relaxing podcast, and it is relaxing if you think of it as, if you think of death as a sweet surrender.
Yeah.
Then this was very a relaxing.
I know.
Conversation.
Very relaxing.
It was very relaxed. We're very relaxed about grammar as well.
Yeah, I forgot even like briefly for a moment what we were going to talk about, and I was going to just bring up that if vampires came, I would present my neck to them.
Yes.
And now we're talking about vampires.
Here we are.
We asked you what your soft spot was. You said vampires.
Yeah. And that soft spot is any of my major arteries.
Yeah. If vampires became real, it would only be a minute before like Madewell would have like turtlenecks with the neck cut open, so you could like present you. Because when you said present my neck, it felt like a push-up bra for your neck.
There would be like, like all the ads for Madewell. That's basically what happens in True Blood, which is one of my favorite.
I love True Blood.
I love True Blood so much. But they do that. Like they have, it's all, you know, it's all like a statement on society.
Yeah.
And so it's very compelling how they kind of show that if vampires were real, how we would kind of commodify and capitalize on it.
Oh,
with like
that's
different
cool.
products.
I didn't know that. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my
Did
God.
Did you ever watch True Blood?
No.
It's so good. Like, I can't recommend it enough. People have a very specific idea of what it is, and it's absolutely not that.
It's not. It's so weird.
Yeah,
it's weird.
It's really bizarre.
Like vampire erotica.
Yeah. But it's also like an allegory for like civil rights and gay rights, because they have this whole thing of like fang bangers, like people who who have sex with vampires are like stigmatized in the same way that like gay people or even like interracial couples.
Man, this show's like perfect spank material for me. It's like woke.
It's woke
boobs.
And it's woke porn.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah, it's okay. And then you know we got Evan Rachel Wood looking like a damn snack.
Yeah,
like, it's just an incredible show.
Wow, yeah.
Alexander Skarsgård.
Oh my god, he in that show is the ultimate for me.
Yeah,
like I've never been more attracted to anybody. He's really hot in everything, but like that show,
that
as like an
role
evil,
was so perfect.
Oh,
for him.
He's so good. A smoldering Viking vampire,
and kind of
wait,
vain,
did you say
kind
bike,
of like
Viking or Viking?
Viking.
Oh, Viking. Okay,
he is a Viking.
Bike messenger vampire.
He's
would
like
not
a,
be that sexy.
A vampire fuckboy.
Yeah, uh-huh. He totally is. He's like emotionally unavailable, but like for Sookie, he's. He's got a soft spot for Sookie, the main character. It's kind of that trope that every vampire thing has. Like, I didn't read or watch Twilight, but we all know the basic gist of it.
Yeah.
But like Twilight, Buffy, True Blood, Vampire Diaries, they all have the two male vampires that fall in love with a seemingly human woman who turns out to be not human.
Yeah.
Every single one of those shows.
Oh.
It's true.
Like, there's something about her, like, that all the vampires are, like, so drawn to her. And then, it's part of her story that she realizes that, like, that's part of how she realizes that she's special.
She's, like,
she's actually three chipmunks in a trench coat standing on top of each other.
Well, that's the exact plot of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, but...
Can I just...
I love that when Sarah Michelle Gellar finally takes off her trench coat and it's three chipmunks.
It's three chipmunks, and then Sarah's head. I do want to say, because you mentioned Twilight, I just remembered when you said that, my story about Twilight, which isn't bad. It's
a
pretty good
story about Twilight.
one day in New York City, when Twilight, the first Twilight movie came out, so I don't know what year that was, but it had to be at least
2007,
10
maybe?
Years ago. Yeah, yeah. 12 years ago, 13, whatever it was, right? So I'm like, I had time to kill in Midtown Manhattan, like literally Times Square.
That's the worst place to have time
to kill. Absolutely. There's nowhere to go.
Yeah.
And I was hungover and I needed a nap. So I was like, I'll go to a movie. It's like noon.
Yeah.
And I'll just, I don't care what it is. I'm so tired.
I'll pay to take a nap.
I'll pay for a 2-hour nap. And $20 for 2 hours of like seat in New York and Times Square is pretty cheap.
That's basically, if you were to break down minute for minute, what you're paying in rent.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's actually cheaper to live in a movie. So I go into this movie and it was the only movie that was playing right then.
Mm-hmm.
So I go in, I have no idea what this thing is. It's called Twilight. I don't know. I didn't even see the poster.
Yeah.
So I go in and I sit.
I don't know how you didn't see the poster.
I don't know either.
It was everywhere.
Yeah. Well,
I probably did, and I didn't know that it was for the movie I was
totally
going to
see. Yeah.
So I go in, and the whole place is, I expect, it's noon. So I'm like, it's going to be empty, and it'll be cold, and it'll be perfect.
Packed,
it is to the gills. So I go in, and the only seat left is like the second row, like in the middle. But I've already paid. So I go down and I'm like, what is going on? And I don't even notice who's in the seats. I just know that it's packed. So I finally sit down and I fall asleep.
Yeah.
And then I wake up right as the movie's about to, like right after it starts.
Yeah.
And I see Kristen Stewart, who I've never seen before. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this lady doesn't, her face doesn't move. This is so weird, you know? And I have no idea that this movie is about vampires. So imagine watching the beginning of this movie without knowing at all that it's about vampires and how boring that
is.
Because they don't talk. It's all tension.
Yeah. Well, I think even knowing it's about vampires is so
funny. Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
That's why people who are like, that's why that movie was so popular just among like horny tweens.
Yeah.
Because it's all that, at least the first book and the first movie, from what I understand, is all like build up.
It's like 50 Shades of Grey for kids.
Well, because 50 Shades of Grey is literally based on it.
Yeah.
So it is truly, it's, if anything,
you nailed it, babe.
Yeah. 50 Shades of Grey is Twilight for adults. That's what it is.
So my first clue is a scene happens, like a moment happens.
Yeah.
That's not funny. It's a not funny moment by objective standards. And the whole theater cracks up. And now I'm like, am I being pronged? What is going on?
They're like in on something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they all read the book, I'm sure.
They were laughing at something that, you know,
like
they all knew from the book.
It was like an inside joke with all of the other fan people.
Exactly. So that's when I first get out of my seat and turn around to be like, what is going on? And everyone is 12 and me. Yeah. And I'm like, oh my God, what is this? And I couldn't fall back asleep because I'm like, now I got to know what this is. So I end up watching Twilight in the theater on opening day. And it was pretty good.
It is.
Really?
Yeah, I
remember
it.
I watched it. You remember like those like before like all these streaming services, we've just had our own streaming services of like Mega Video and Put Locker.
Yeah.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. I remember watching it on like Mega Video, and it was like one of those like shaky, like somebody had videotaped it in the theater.
Yeah.
And I just watched it so that I would like know what people are talking about.
Yeah.
And but I watched it in this like horrible low quality, like I have no idea what that movie was supposed to look like, but I know what the plot is.
Right.
But yeah, it's like it was like a like well paced, well done like sexual tension story.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like that's all there really was as far as I was concerned. I know that like in the later books it gets apparently it gets better, but also apparently the writing is so bad that if you care about that, it's hard to stay mm-hmm. into it.
Yeah, it's like, but also who cares?
Yeah.
Also, kind of but yeah, like, and I'm not above like low quality content for just the sake of like the story.
Right.
Yeah. I love This Is Us. I get it. I like bad
I was going to say Peyton Place, but I'm a million years old.
But yeah, so Twilight, it is weird because it is like a huge part of my personality, how much I love vampire stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And for most people, the one thing, their one touchstone is Twilight. And I can't, like, that's...
You can't.
Yeah.
I'm not on board for any of it. But
no,
not
neither
on
am I.
Principle. It just never really caught my attention.
So let's.
I'm not
above
it.
So that's out of the way. No, yeah. No Twilight.
No
we
Twilight.
Don't need to discuss it. I just wanted to say that I accidentally saw it on opening
yeah.
day.
Yeah. I mean, I also.
That's crazy.
In a packed theater of people that loved it.
There is a YouTuber who will go unnamed because he ended up being a sexual predator, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But he had a really funny YouTube series where he would read Twilight and then comment on it as uh-huh. he was reading it.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way, I also kind of read it because I watched that.
Oh yeah.
But like it was being read to me by like somebody who was making funny jokes about it. So,
right.
So I don't, so I like know enough, but not enough to actually bond with people about
so
it.
So what was your first, in love with a vampire situation?
True Blood.
True
yeah.
Blood.
Yeah.
Okay.
True Blood.
Did you watch it when
me.
It was originally on?
Yeah. I watched it. I think I wasn't on board. Like I didn't know about it or like didn't watch it for the first season.
Mm-hmm.
But then by the time I got into it and caught up, it was like as the second season was coming out.
Yeah.
So I was basically there from the beginning.
HBO or show? It's HBO, right?
HBO, yeah.
So you didn't really have like a particular interest in vampires before
no,
True Blood?
I don't even remember how I got into it, honestly. Mm-hmm. I think maybe like Tumblr, I saw some like, you know, GIF where I was like, that looks hot.
I know. I think honestly, it was like all the stills of Alexander
yeah.
Skarsgård that made me watch it.
Oh, you know what it was? I was, my family, my grandparents my mom is from the Netherlands, so my family, her whole family lives there still.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would sometimes spend like weeks at a time just kind of, you'd think it'd be like, oh, Amsterdam, time to go party. But like, no, the part my family is from is like a very boring village in the middle of nowhere with mm-hmm. like Ethernet cable internet, like not even Wi-Fi.
I was going to say, you do have that like Scandinavian bone structure of like,
thank you so
you
much
are,
for noticing.
You are a vampire, that, but you're like the accountant
people,
for the vampires.
People make fun of me. Yeah. They make fun of me when they find out I'm into vampires because I do look like one. And they're
yeah.
like, okay, but anyway, I needed something to do. I mm-hmm. couldn't just like hang out in silence with my like Dutch family. They're all just like they're like just like happy to share quiet moments together, and I'm like very much the American cousin that's like, oh, let's party, and they're like, no.
Yeah.
So I just like would retreat into the room, like the guest room, and I watched all of Buffy the Vampire Slayer and all of True Blood. I forget in which order. I think True Blood first.
Mm-hmm.
So it was out of just desperation to just fill time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then I got like so hooked on it, like to the point where I was like now just like kind of skipping like the whole like family dinners and stuff. Like they're like, you're in the Netherlands for like 2 weeks, could you spend some time with us? I'm like, Skarsgård is calling.
Yeah.
I gotta go. But yeah, I don't really remember my exact like the exact
mm-hmm.
my first impression. I just know that it has stuck with me.
Yeah.
Ever since.
Once I started watching that show, I was staying up until like the sun came
yes,
up.
Yes, me too.
I was like, I can't stop.
So addicting about that show.
Yeah.
They're very good at like, you know,
leaving it on a cliffhanger.
Yes, they're really good at the cliffhangers. They're really good at the, like, you identify with every single character in a different way. So even the villains you're like rooting for in it, it's just like so well done that it's, I rewatch it like every couple of years, and every time I let it completely consume me again as if I've never seen it. Like, it's so good.
The cliffhangers are like, you're about to see Skarsgård's wiener, and then
it
says to be continued right over his crotch.
Like, you're kidding, but yes.
There's actually a shot of him. Do you remember? I can't remember which season it is. Yes.
I know exactly what you're talking
snow,
about.
In the snow, sunbathing.
Yes.
Because he just like needed to get away.
Yeah.
And you're like, am I gonna see it?
Yeah. See it? No, it's so good. Because there's like a plot point where they kind of, no spoilers, but the vampires figure out a way to go into the sunlight.
So
he's one of the first ones to do it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, so first of all, up until this season, you've only ever seen Skarsgård in the dark under fluorescent lighting, you know?
Yeah.
So all of a sudden you're just seeing his like beautiful Swedish body in the sunlight.
Right.
And and it's when he's like, because you're kind of rooting for him and the main character to get together, even though he's the evil character.
Because
that's just every single vampire show, that is the plot is,
it's
that
true.
You want the evil vampire who for every reason you should hate, you want him to end up with the hero, even though like she's way too good for him,
right?
Yeah.
And so in True Blood it's him, and that at this point in the show they start daydreaming about each other, and it keeps teasing, you think that they're actually finally going to hook up, but it ends up being like a dream. And so there's a lot of like, you almost see him naked because he's like, oh, is he actually about to have sex with her? And then they wait, one of them wakes up and they're like, god damn it.
I actually do that in my, I haven't had a sex dream in a long time, but that would always happen to me. My own brain was like, you don't get to do this.
Mine too. Mine too. It is very true to life that they did that.
Because
I've never had like a satisfying sex dream.
Me neither.
It's always right as it's about to happen.
Or someone walks in, or I realize, oh my God, I am cheating on somebody who doesn't exist.
Yes, yeah.
It's the worst.
Yeah, I've had a lot of like, you immediately, like, you're like, oh my God, this is like the worst betrayal, but to like whom? I don't.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, it's
that's gotta
it's rough.
Be some kind of weird anxiety dream, right?
Yeah.
It always feels more like an anxiety dream, but sex ups the stakes, so I feel extra bad. Those are my sex dreams. It's fun. Join my brain. Let's have a party.
Because sex is shameful, so. Right. It's shameful and it's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And your brain is just telling you that.
I don't want you to talk more about True Blood because you've sold me and now I want to watch it.
Oh, yeah. You have to watch it.
I've watched the whole thing twice.
Yeah.
So you don't want to watch it again.
Oh, no. I'll for sure watch it.
Oh, please
we're almost
do.
Done Walking
I'll
Dead
for
and we're
sure
going to
watch
have
it
to,
again.
Oh, Walking Dead is actually, it's kind of a good pairing because it's got a lot of the same. Like, obviously, it's a different, like, world, but it's got a lot
it's
of the
lighter.
Same. It's got a lot of the same stakes, but it's a little bit lighter. It's a little bit campier, so there's like some levity to it. I think one of my favorite things about True Blood is that it's set in the South, so everybody has these like really thick accents, and there's something kind of like quaint and like sweet about it, even though it's like people are getting murdered.
It's it's like if The Walking Dead had the B-52s on the run.
Yeah. Yeah.
In it.
Yeah.
It's there's something like really they do a really great job of making it feel kind of like I don't know, like innocent and sweet, even
like
though
you
it's
are
like,
in a buttfuck town in Louisiana.
Yes. And that like everybody is just offering you sweet tea, but also like wants to murder you.
Yeah.
Like, and everybody's a suspect. It's one of those shows that like every season there's like a new like kind of mystery that's happening.
Oh, that's cool.
And you don't know who to trust and who's, and it's kind of a soap opera in that way where like people are coming back from the dead out of nowhere. There's evil twins, but I like love that stuff.
Yeah. It's good.
I'm on board. For like, I really like Jane the Virgin. Like anything that's like, have you watched Jane the Virgin?
No. Mm-hmm.
Not vampire stuff, so we won't get into it. But it makes fun of telenovelas, and so it's got a lot of that. Like, I was alive all along. Like,
oh
I
yeah,
bet you thought you got rid of me. Like that kind
a
of
lot
stuff.
Of eyebrows.
Yeah.
eyebrow acting. I could never be in one of those. Yeah. I don't know if you've seen this, but I have a condition.
Yeah. Well, they'll draw them on for the right.
I narrowly escaped a vampire attack, and all he got was my eyebrows. What appeals to you about vampires in general, not just True Blood?
You know, I've tried to put a point on it. Like, I can't really figure it out. I think there is something that There is something about like the bad boy who you're like winning over, like you're mm-hmm. you're special.
You can change mm-hmm. him.
Yeah, and there's something a little unhealthy about it.
It's like
sure.
dating a drug dealer.
It is. He's it's like
or a
it's
drummer.
Like, it's like vampires okay. are all like the bad boy from the wrong side of the tracks,
uh-huh. mm-hmm.
and then the hero in all of these, whether it's Buffy, whether it's Nina Dobrev's character in The Vampire Diaries, whether it's Sookie in True Blood. Whether it's Kristen Stewart in Twilight,
mm-hmm.
like there's something about the hero that compels these vampires to be better,
right?
Like she fixes them,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's something like before I met you, I didn't even like I just saw people like I saw the world as like this, you know, all just people that I can like consume and drop
hedonism.
Yeah, yeah. And now like now that I know you, I know meaning. And like there's something like inherently a fantasy yeah. about that. Yeah.
You want to be the girl that makes them want to change.
Yeah, yeah. But also yeah. like in my real life, I absolutely don't fuck with that.
like yeah, it's like
if
they're
you're
domesticating.
Looking for someone, yeah.
They're
yes.
domesticating
they're
like, a wild animal.
Yes. That is exactly what it is.
Like you will believe in a higher, nobler truth for
yeah.
me,
yeah.
but you wouldn't do it for anyone else.
Yeah.
And that's yeah.
I grew up like with my mom and her sister, like kind of being the people that like introduced like romantic content to me. Mm-hmm. Like my older brother showed me all the like cool stuff. And then my mom and my aunt showed me like Never Been Kissed, stuff like that, if
right.
that makes
uh-huh.
sense. And so I kind of inherited.
Same category as far as I'm concerned, but it's fine.
I kind of inherited from them the ability to tell like, oh, these two are going to end up together. And like being able to like kind of predict stuff about romance. Mm-hmm. And that's also kind of addicting to mm-hmm. like just be like, oh, I knew it. Like mm-hmm. that feeling is a huge payoff. And vampire stuff is so formulaic that even though anybody could tell what's going to happen,
mm-hmm.
it's like so rewarding to know that you guessed what's going to happen. I don't know. There's something like really satisfying about like, oh, it may have taken 4 seasons, but I knew they were going to end up fucking. Like, I
love
know.
that dude mysteries are who killed the person, and women mysteries are who's going to fall in love.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, like I remember,
and who killed the
my
person?
My mom and I read Harry Potter together, and we like guessed pretty early on, like way before there were any real signs that like Hermione and Ron were going to end up together.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get like 7 books of payoff. You know, you're like, yeah. we knew it.
So you don't date bad boys in real life?
I definitely have.
Oh, and, okay.
But I just mean I'm not. I intellectually know that that is not the move.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm not
but you're not going to change it.
Yeah. I'm not seeking it out. I'm not like, I know some people are consciously seeking it out, that they're mm. looking to fix somebody, or they're mm-hmm. looking to be fixed, or, you know, that kind
Heather
of.
Heather Locklear.
Yeah.
To keep it topical. Sorry. Everett, how old are you?
I'm 23.
Heather Locklear was a beautiful woman from the 80s.
No, I know.
Oh, okay.
Oh my gosh. Thank you for, could you teach me more?
Yeah. Telephones
yeah.
used to be stuck to the wall.
Yeah, they had these kinds of cords. The listener can't see, but the spiral
yes.
cords.
Mm-hmm.
I remember. Yeah, anyway, I...
you don't seek it out.
I don't, but I subconsciously do, I think. If you, like, look at my dating history, it's like, mm-hmm. oh, wow, really trying to... Let me put it this way. I've taught a lot of men how to take, like, how to wash their face.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying
you,
to domesticate
Julian.
Them.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beauty products.
Yeah.
Previously, we used to just pass out in our own vomit to wash
yeah.
our face.
Yeah.
And now you can use soap products.
Yeah.
Or you would just stick your whole head in a tub of gel to where your hair looked like melting hazard cones.
Uh-huh.
I fixed that.
You
yeah.
did, yeah.
yeah.
Melting hazard cones?
Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah.
yeah. Yeah.
It is what it is, man.
Mm-hmm. Go around.
Well, you've done a great job. Now he's just, now he's
well,
just
no,
wearing...
I'm wearing a hat, but he does do a great job, actually. So would True Blood launched you into what else? What was the next thing after that?
Either Buffy or The Vampire Diaries.
Mm-hmm.
I watched all of them kind of at the same time, like within the same like 2 years. So mm-hmm. I don't really remember the exact order.
I guess they all sort of blend together at some point.
They kind of do.
It's yeah. just one like 2 year of, multiple orgasm.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, you know what? True Blood is the only one that I've like had any real sexual feelings over because mm-hmm. that's the only one with Alexander Skarsgård in it.
Yeah. yeah.
But I guess there's like a couple sexual tension moments in Buffy that got me, but not really. Like her two love interests in that I'm not personally attracted to.
Right.
So I was like into the story, but I wasn't like, you know, I wasn't
feeling it.
Yeah. It was just more of a just consuming a program was, I was more just into her hero's journey, you know,
yeah.
than I was the like, who's going to end up with whom. In fact, I eventually didn't want her to end up with anybody. And I don't think she does, right?
Buffy?
I don't know. Yeah. I haven't watched Buffy in years.
Yeah, I don't remember. I mean, that's what's kind of sick about it is that the point of the show wasn't who she ended up with. So nobody, it's not like with Twilight, we all know that she ended up with Edward, whether we like watched it or not.
Yeah.
It's right. just like, that was the whole point is who is she going to end up with?
Mm-hmm.
And what's kind of cool about Buffy is that like Spike and Angel were kind of like these like to the point where Angel just got his own spinoff show because of how much he didn't really matter to her story.
Oh, that's Angel?
Yeah.
The show?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fun.
She was a full person
yeah.
who didn't need a dude.
Yeah. yeah.
Isn't that nice?
And I
not
kind of,
even a vampire.
Yeah, not even a sexy vampire. But what I did like, I did kind of sometimes hope that she would end up with like Faith, the other Slayer.
Mm-hmm.
Like she's really hot and they kind of have like, there's a little bit of queer baiting in that show that eventually ends up to just, they finally make Willow queer because they're like, we keep insinuating that someone's going to end up being gay. So let's just make somebody gay.
Yeah.
Right.
But I think they would have made Buffy gay if it wasn't the 90s
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
because she's the more obviously gay one, I think, out of all the characters.
Right.
She like, yeah, I don't
know. I sort of remember, I mean, man, all I feel like a lot of shows from that time are like kind of all.
Yeah. No, they're very
jumbled
similar.
Up in my brain right now.
Yeah.
I loved Dark Shadows, which is old as shit.
Yeah.
And I did not love the movie.
Yeah.
Because, man, wow, what are you doing these days, Tim Burton? I love him so much. And I think he's so genius. But I guess once you make a certain amount of money, it's like...
Totally. Ugh. I mean, that continues to happen
yeah.
to like every art form.
Well, there's also probably...
He just really took a dump on like my favorite thing.
Yeah.
And that really bummed me out.
Yeah.
I thought that it would be super great and it was just like really disappointing. But a lot of the original cast had cameos, which was very sweet because they're very old.
Yeah.
I mean, that show started in 1966.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah,
what do you
it was
love
the first
about vampires?
I loved...
Do you love vampires?
Yeah. I guess so.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
non-Skarsgårdian vampires?
I know. I really do love zombies more, I think, but I love vampires. And I started watching that show because my mom loved it. And it was sort of like groundbreaking to have a horror show on television, mm-hmm. like on cable television. And there weren't that many things to choose to choose from when you were watching something. So the fact that that was even an option back then
yeah.
is insane. And it just like informed everything about my aesthetic and who I am. And I love it.
Yeah.
I really love that show.
Yeah.
But Interview with a Vampire, you also said
yes.
you loved that.
I mean, I haven't seen it in a really long time, but I remember I watched it like probably way too young.
Oh yeah, first. I definitely watched it too young.
Yeah, and I mean... It's just one of, like, I have a much older brother, so I've had a lot of experiences where I watch something way too young, and it's, like, really impacted me.
I also watched The Shining way too young, so I get that, yeah.
Yeah, I watched, like, honestly, yeah, I watched some, like, comedies way too young in a way that's not as, like, disturbing necessarily, but I just, like, knew about stuff too early.
Yeah.
Like, I watched Austin Powers too young, and that's like, you'd think, like, that's harmless enough, but it's like...
When you rewatch it, it's so
yeah,
sexual.
It's like,
crazy.
Super sexual. And my family was, like, pretty, like, straightforward about, like, I never didn't know what sex was, I feel like, mm-hmm. but not to a, like, not to that detail.
Yeah. Right.
And I didn't really know about, like, the... pursuit aspect of like sex
right.
at that age. So mm-hmm. his whole mission in Austin Powers is like, let's fuck, you know?
Yeah.
And so as a kid, I was just like, oh, women are objects. Cool, cool, cool. Mm-hmm. Noted.
Yeah.
But you know, I didn't actually consciously think of it that way, but I for sure internalized it for a little bit.
Yeah. That dynamic of like predator and prey is
yeah,
very
exactly.
part of it.
It's a hard
yeah.
thing to get rid of.
Yeah. But so Interview with a Vampire, it was similar where it's just like some really adult subject matter that I was like, okay.
Yeah.
But it was also, you know, there's like a child in it.
Yeah. Well, I think that as she starts to get older and she still looks like a little child,
yeah.
there's like a scene where she's basically saying she's like sexually frustrated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I was like,
and they had a child say it.
Yeah. yeah.
Like a human. When she was like,
she's so good in it.
Yeah. But I was like, ooh.
I recently listened to an interview with her about Interview with a Vampire. So in a way, it was an interview with Interview with a Vampire. But yeah, she was like, I don't know how playing that role impacted me as a kid. Like, I think it had some long-term...
Really?
Yeah.
Must have.
Because she's like an adult. I think about that because they have that in True Blood too, where there are children who are adult vampires.
The long-term influence on her is that she is still a bankable movie star. That's how I see it.
She's still making that paper, so what, what does she have to complain about?
But it was Brad Pitt, right? Wasn't her and Tom Cruise? Which one of them was her like love interest?
I don't remember. Do you remember?
I don't remember, but... every single time I see an image from that movie or I talk about it or I watch it, I think about the fact that a few years before that, Brad Pitt was just like a bro skateboarding or skating, rollerblading around Venice Beach. And somebody was like, you should be a movie star.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God.
How crazy is
that? And the person that he is today after like being discovered that way.
Yeah.
Like, he is maybe the most universally loved, like beloved and like sex icon acknowledged movie star that's alive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, everybody
crazy
loves
that
him.
Like Paul Newman was just
and
like a hot
yeah,
bro.
For real. Like there's no better touchstone of like sex icon who's also like an incredibly talented actor than Brad Pitt.
You know
everybody
you,
loves him.
You know how you know that is because in a custody case, the tabloids are on his side, which never happens in a public forum where like the dude is exalted.
It's a good, I think it's that in combination with how much Angelina Jolie kind of, she's very threatening to like what a woman should be in people's eyes. Because she's just been so open about how like her sexuality and like her darkness, her demons. Mm-hmm. And she's also like a powerhouse of a person.
Yeah.
And so I think it's like, yes, I agree with what you're saying, but I think also she's just really easy to villainize because people don't like women that are that in control and that like open about not being like ladylike.
Right.
Right.
And like, she's got all these tattoos on like what has been acknowledged to be one of the most sexy, perfect bodies in Hollywood, but she's like reclaimed it as her own by putting these like kind of not that attractive looking tattoos all over it.
Mm-hmm.
Like
yeah.
She's like totally like, she is, I'm in love with her too.
It's like when Meg wore Dickies in high school.
Stop that. I would still fuck with Dickies, don't you dare.
I know.
Oh, I am trying to get back
but
into
you reclaimed
Dickies.
Your body by being like, I work hard.
Yeah, no, totally.
Yeah.
After showing my butt crack in some Britney pants for a while, I decided like maybe I'm just going to try grandpa pants for a minute.
Yeah.
So, I get it.
Yeah.
Also, I have a lot of bad tattoos.
I do too. I have like a lot of ironic but not ironic tattoos.
This ridiculously flew by and I'm so sorry, but we gotta. There's one question that I have to ask both of you as
What's
women.
That? Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Would you take the bite and why?
Ooh,
for sure.
Okay. Why wouldn't you take the bite, by the way? Who are these people that don't want to be vampires?
Wait, it depends on which world we're talking about.
Well, they talk about how vampires are like hot fuck machines after they get bit in True Blood. And so if I'm living in the True Blood world, I'm like, I'm going to be young-ish forever.
That's...
And like,
so
I
do they
don't
have
know.
Mortal penetration sex?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if vampires did that also, or if it was all like all the sexual... pleasure they get is from the actual bite.
Well, so in True Blood, they like bite you while they fuck you, but biting you doesn't actually
mean...
I
can do that.
It doesn't... biting
I
itself...
I got fangs.
Hi, Mom!
Biting itself isn't what turns people. There's a whole process. You have to like drain them of all their blood and then like bury them and like lay with them in their grave.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's a very intimate process and it's not to be taken lightly because then you are... connected for eternity. Mm-hmm. Like you are like
bonded,
basically their spawn. Mm-hmm. But then they also like, they still have sex with their spawn and stuff.
Yeah.
It's really, I love True Blood is so woke, you know, they're like, they're so casual about like what, like there's no such thing as like monogamy in that show.
Yeah.
It doesn't ruin a relationship to like have sex with like somebody who's your lifelong friend. They just do like, they're great. Anyway.
Right. Barf monogamy, right?
It depends on which world we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like in the Vampire Diaries, diaries you can just put on.
Like, I definitely wouldn't want to get bitten this one.
In the Vampire Diaries, they can walk in the sun with just like one, like it's very easy for them. They have to just do a little thing and they can walk in the sun.
Yeah.
There's like, they can kind of walk among us. And in
like
True Blood,
like a Latino goth.
Yeah. And in True Blood, they can't until later on, but it's at a huge price. So I don't know. Cause I don't know if I'd want to give that up.
Yeah.
Just, I'd be just burnt alive if I ever go in the sunlight, which I kind of,
my thing is, I don't think I want to be conscious for thousands of years.
Yeah,
I want to rest, man.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I would take it if we lived in the True Blood world, but in this world, I'm like, I don't need to be alive for more of this than necessary.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
But I mean, if anything, I'd want to be a dolphin. Right, guys? To bring it back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In that sweet bathwater ocean.
Yeah. So yours is a yes, though.
That's a, yeah.
Yeah.
I definitely, I would be, as they call it in True Blood, I'd be a fang banger for sure. I'd be a human that, like, my entire identity is that I, like, hang out with vampires and, like, have sex with them.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I would actually want to turn.
Yeah.
But also, but vampires in those worlds, they can like control your brain and erase your memories. And I don't want to give anybody that power.
Mm.
So I kind of would just want to do it so that I'm immune to that.
Yeah. A lot of pros, a lot of cons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm down the middle.
I thought it was a simple question, but I'm glad you.
Sorry. I put a lot of thought into it.
Well, that's your soft spot, and
it's
you
my
should.
Soft spot.
I have a lot of thought about Richard Marx that a lot of people don't think
would
about.
Would you take the bite based on your little knowledge
about
vampire stuff?
I'm such a high chaser that I would want to feel what it felt like to get bit by a vampire, but then I'd be like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. I'd be waking up the next day like, what a mistake.
Yeah, but if the bite itself isn't what turns you, would you still just want to get bitten just to see how it feels?
Yeah.
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 I think so too. I think that's like primarily where I land, and then like, we'll see. If one thing leads to another, okay.
Uh-huh.
I'll lay in a grave with you and turn into a vampire, but it has to be the right, it has to be the right vampire.
And then I'd walk right into the sun.
Only for Skarsgård, let's be honest.
He can scuck your blood any.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is so fun.
Do you have any things you want to talk about?
Tell
that
people
you have?
Where to find you.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I'm at Anya Volz, AnyaVolz on everything. And if you're ever in New York, I have a show called Thirst Trap. It's at a different venue every month. So just follow at Thirst Trap Comedy. And it's also a podcast. So for both of those things, at Thirst Trap Comedy on Instagram for updates.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye.
So fun.
Bye.
Soft spot.
Daphne. Stop and Avenue. A podcast network.